I want to talk to you because he asked me to on giving. And it's not because you aren't giving, but because it's a subject that sometimes is misunderstood. And I want to challenge you in the area of giving, because God is the greatest giver of all times. Wouldn't you agree? Could anybody outgive God? No, none of us could. And while we're thinking about that, the gift that God gave us was given to us at Christmas time, right? God gave his son, Jesus, a babe in a manger, and we remember that. We're coming up to the Christmas season, Thanksgiving season. It's a great time for us to think about our giving. So that's what he asked me to preach on, and that's why I'm here today. And God has blessed me through the years and being able to go to churches and share with them on this subject. Matter of fact, that's one of the things that I've been gifted and been able to do through the years is help churches raise money for capital improvements and capital campaigns. What that means is I help churches raise money so when they build buildings, and primarily starting churches, they can build buildings and not have to go borrow money from the bank and have to go into long-term debt and then spend all that money in interest at the banks. And so if they can raise the money and pay it off in 3 years, then all that interest money goes back into reaching people for Christ and not go into the banker's pocketbooks. And it can go into the church pockets and help people be reached for Christ. So over the last 20 years, I've been able to raise about $15 million for local churches, and we've been blessed to be able to do that through a company called Ecclesia Ministries. Ecclesia means church ministry. One of the church ministries is money. The most talked about ministry and most talked about subject in this book, the Bible, is what? Money. Did you know that? It's talked about more than love. It's talked about more than grace. It's talked about more than faith. Money is the most talked about subject in the Bible. But when we get to church, nobody wants to talk about it. And so I'm kind of like the hitman. I come in and talk about money. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is about money. Now, over in Psalm, by the way, you got one of these things. It's called a bulletin this morning. That faithful usher back there gave you one of these. In the middle of it, it's got an outline. Did you get one of those? And it's got a blank piece of paper in there, and it's for you to doodle on, kind of scribble notes on, write stuff on. And so there's a lot of stuff that's going to show up on that screen, and you're probably going to say, I hadn't thought about that, and you might want to write it down. And if you need a pen or if you need a crayon or something sharp to write with, we got some of those we can provide to you too. So anybody need something to write with and want to take a note or two, raise your hand. We'll get a pen for you. Anybody want a pen? Anybody want a pen? Anybody need a pen? Did everybody get a card, like a white note card when you came in? A 3x5 card. You wonder why they handed it to you. Everybody wave it at me if you got one. Did you get them? If you didn't get one, raise your hand and we're going to get you one. Okay, there we go. See, usher, hold your hands up. He's coming. Raise your hands up. Hold them up till he gets to you. He's coming real quick because you're going to need one. All right. Hold them up. So I want you to take some notes, and I want you to use that note. And you're going to need a pen if you got that card, so you need that pen too. Now, I know this is a little bit different than regular church, but trust me, it's going to bless you in a few minutes, and you're going to be glad that you used it, and you'll be glad you got the pen, all right? Don't have time to turn to it. Just write it down. Here's what it says, and you can check me on it later, okay? Psalm 24, verse 1, this is what the Bible says. The earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belong to the Lord. Did you hear that? Psalm 24, 1, the earth, everything in it, the world and its inhabitants belong to the Lord. So here's what I understood that to say. Heaven and earth belong to the Lord. Heaven and earth belong to God. All possessions belong to the Lord. Everything in this world belongs to God. That bass boat belongs to God. That house you got belongs to God. That vehicle you drove up in today belongs to God. that property that you got the title to and as your name is on at the courthouse belongs to God. And even all the people on this earth belong to God. And if you are a believer, you especially belong to God, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7:23, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You don't even belong to yourself. You belong to God. You don't even belong to yourself. You belong to God. And so everything belongs to God. So any of you ever been in management and a job where you manage something? Anybody been in management? Raise your hand. It's all right to raise your hand to Baptist Church. We're not going charismatic, okay? All right. So when you manage something, that means somebody else owns it and you just manage it, right? You take care of it. So that's what we're doing with what God owns. God owns it all, and you and I just manage it. And some of us manage more than others. And some of us manage little, and some people manage more than others manage. And the reality of it is, God is the one that distributes what we manage. And God sees to it that we manage that. And then what he's going to do one day is he's going to call roll, and he's going to check and see how well, he's going to do an evaluation to see you have been evaluated on your job. He's going to determine whether or not you have managed well what he has entrusted to your management skills. And so he wants to know whether or not you managed what he's asked you to manage. And so this morning, I want to challenge you about your giving. And I'm not just talking about money, but I am going to talk primarily about money. But giving and stewardship is more than money. And so I want to call to your attention Malachi chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to reread it as we go along. And I want to call your attention. I'm reading from the Holman Christian Standard Version of the Bible. So it may read a little bit different than your Bible, but it's still the Word of God. Since the days of your fathers, you've turned from my statutes, you've kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you ask, how can we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. You ask, how do we rob you? By not making the payments of 10% and the contributions. You're suffering under curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full 10% into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not ruin the produce of your ground, and your vine and your field will not be barren, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations, Lord of hosts. Would you bow with me for just a moment, and let's ask God's blessing on the reading of his word. Father God, I pray that there might be an eclipse that happens right now in this very pulpit, that you may eclipse me, and that people may not see me, but they'll see Jesus, your Son, and our Savior. And God, that they may hear your word, and that they'll respond in a way that will please you. I pray your blessings on Brother Randy as he's preaching even at this hour. I pray, God, that you'll bless this church and use this time for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The story is told about a salesman. You ever had somebody come to your house try to sell you something? This means you can raise your hand. Have you? Hey, if y'all don't respond, we're going to be here a long time. I already just got 15 minutes, so we're going to be here a long time. So you have, haven't you? Right? Okay. Have you done a rainbow? I bought rainbow vacuum cleaners. I bought all kind of stuff that people try to sell me. Somebody tried to sell this lady a home freezer. And they told her, you're going to save money on your food bills if you'll buy this freezer. And she said, we're paying on our car on the gas money we're saving. We're paying on our washing machine on the laundry bills we're saving. We're paying on our house on the rent money that we're saving. And right now, we just can't afford to save any more. Anybody feel that way? Yeah, we all feel that way, don't we? Right now in the United States, listen to me, people are spending $1.21 out of every dollar earned. How are they doing that? They're doing it on plastic stuff that we carry in our pocketbooks called credit cards. Okay. In America today, people also, listen to this, spending more on dog food and pet food than they are giving to the local church. What's wrong with that picture? When there's more spent on pet food in America than there's given to the local church. Folks, there's something wrong. Martin Luther said this, there are three conversions that are necessary. The conversion of the heart, conversion of the mind, and conversion of the pocketbook. And experience tells us the conversion of the heart is the most difficult of all three. But if God gets a hold of your heart this morning, guess what? He'll change your pocketbook. He'll change your mind. What he has to do is he has to change our heart. If he changes our heart, he'll change our mind. He'll change our pocketbook. Because if God gets your heart, he's got all of you. But if God doesn't have your heart, he doesn't have any of you. And so maybe you're here today and he doesn't have your heart because you've never given your life to Jesus. Then you need to give your life to Jesus Christ today. And at the end of the service, there'll be an opportunity for you to do that. Or maybe today you're not giving and you're not a giver because you haven't met the giver of all times, God, who gave his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this in Matthew 6:24. It's going to be on the screen. Write it down on that piece of paper and look at it later. No one can serve two masters. Either he's going to hate one and love the other. He's going to be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Some people are trying to serve money and they're not serving God. And some people are trying to serve money because they've taken a second job, because they've gotten so many commitments, because they bought so much stuff, they can't be at church today. Y'all know who I'm talking about, don't you? And some folks have got so many commitments, they've even taken a third job, or they got their wife working, and they got so much stuff they're trying to pay for that they can't afford it. They've gotten way in over their heads. And they've gotten too much commitments to money rather than they got their commitment to God. And it's time for you and I to decide who are we most committed to today. So I've come to your church to offer you a challenge about your giving. And God's plan for giving's got two parts. First of all, there's a required part. It's the tithe. And the second part is a voluntary part. It's an offering. And the offering is the kind of giving that has to come voluntary after you've given the tithe. And in Scripture, it's called by different names. It's called a free will offering, a contribution, and other things, just to name a few. And there's two terms in the Bible that we often should be all used synonymously. Lordship and stewardship. You can't really say that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life if he's not Lord of your pocketbook as well. You know, I hear people flippantly say, Jesus is Lord of my life. If he's not Lord of your money, he's not Lord of your life. He has to be Lord of everything, and money is part of that. Because, see, if you're going to be godly, you're going to be a giver. If you're going to be godly, you must be a giver. And so I want us to walk through this passage of Scripture and note that there are five principles in this passage of Scripture. And first of all, let me call to your attention. This passage of Scripture is not a passage about money. This passage of Scripture, when Malachi the prophet was given this, it was a passage of Scripture about revival. Wouldn't it be great for him to get news from his lovely wife who's here in this service that revivals broke out at New Rocky Creek while he's down there preaching revival in Florida? Because that's what this passage is about. It's about revival. And so if God gets all of you, he's got your money too. And that's what God wants. He wants revival to break out in our churches because our churches are barren. 85% of churches in America today are in decline and not growing. Why is that? Because people are turning away from God. Why we got so many empty chairs here this morning? Because people got other stuff they're doing rather than worshiping God. Why are our churches getting older? Look around you. We got a lot of older folks around here, including me. I had somebody this morning say, "Hey, young man," I'm like, "Hey, who are they talking to? I used to be young, but I'm not young anymore." He said, "Compared to me, you are." And I guess I was compared to him. When I looked at him, I'm like, "Yeah, he is pretty old. Matter of fact, he's really old." But you see what I'm saying? We need revival in our churches today. Here's the first principle. The call of God to his people. Verse 7. "Ever since the time of your forefathers, you've turned away from my decrees. You've not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord God Almighty." Who moved? Did God move? No. God says in his word, "I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever." He never changes. So if anybody moves, who moves? We do. We usually move away from God. We don't move toward God. So God says to Malachi, "Return to me. Hey, you've gotten away from me. It's time to get back toward me." It's sort of like the coaches on the ball field. Did anybody watch football yesterday? Did you know they got some of those coaches on the sideline that are the get back coaches? What do? They keep those boys get back off the sideline and get back off the field because they'll get a penalty. But you know what? We need some folks to get on the field, God's field. We need to get on the field. We need to be doing what God wants us to do. And so God says, "Return to me, and I will return to you." You got to make the first move, God says. "Return to me, and I will return to you." Genuine repentance will affect your checkbook. If Christians don't give, it's not because you need money. It's because you need repentance. And what is repentance? It means that just like anybody serving the military? Nobody here serving? What are they doing in the military? That's you marching? And they say, "You're marching this direction." They say, "About face." And then when you march it, they say, "About face." That means you're going this direction. They say, "About face." You turn a 180 and you start going the other way. And that's what we need to do. Turn 180 and start walking toward God. And do what God wants us to do. Principle number 2. There was a crime being committed against God. Verse 7 and 8. 3 questions are asked. How are we to return? Will a man rob God? How do we rob you? The people ask. The first answer is a very broad answer. Will a man rob God? Yet you robbed me. How did we rob you? The second answer is very specific. You robbed me in tithes and offerings. A tithe means a tenth. A tenth. A tenth of what? Leviticus chapter 2, a tithe of everything belongs to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. Did you hear that? Leviticus 27:30. Did you write it down? Leviticus 27:30. It's right there on the screen. A tithe of everything belongs to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. A tithe of everything. How much is everything? Everything in... When I was in school, everything meant everything. Not some things, everything belongs to the Lord. So here's some T words for you, help you remember what everything means. A tenth of your time belongs to the Lord. If you were to take all the hours of a week, 24 hours of a day, 7 days a week, and you divide 10% of that, would it be said of you that 10% of your time is given to the Lord? Most of us probably come up way short on our time. Would 10% of your talents be given to the Lord? So we got time. We got talents. What about your testimony? Would it be said that you sharing your testimony, what Jesus did for you? Oh, you don't have to know a bunch of scripture passages and you got to know the Romans Road and all these different ways of sharing with Christ. No, you just got to know what Jesus did for you and tell somebody about it. Happened to me when I was 9 years old, and I hadn't got over it yet. Do you share Christ with people, or do you keep him to yourself? Your testimony. And then certainly your treasure. So time, testimony, talent, treasure. Are you sharing those four things with other people? A tenth of everything belongs to God. Not some things, but everything. Now here's the kicker. Until you give a tithe, you cannot give an offering. Let me say that again in case you dozed off. Until you've given a tithe, you cannot give an offering. Because the tithe, look what it says there, belongs to who? The Lord. Now you might say, I need to go home and pray about whether or not I need to tithe. No, you don't. You just need to tithe. Brother Josh this morning did not get up this morning and say, I need to pray about what Brother Larry's going to do with his money today. Because it's my money. And I assure you, I didn't get up this morning and say, I need to pray about what Brother Josh is going to do with his money. Because that's Josh's money. So if 10% of it already belongs to God, I just need to give it. Because it's God's. It's not mine. Y'all okay out there? It's God's. It's not ours. So we're supposed to give it. And so until I give it, I'm not giving God anything except what was His. And so if I keep it, what have I done? I have stolen from God. I didn't say that. He said it. He said, I committed a crime against Him. So I've stolen from God. So an offering is anything that I give above a tithe. So you cannot give an offering until you give a tithe. So how much is a tithe? I get asked that all the time. Now, preacher, do I tithe off the gross or do I tithe off the net? And I always ask people, I say, well, let me ask you this. Do you want a net blessing or do you want a gross blessing? I don't know about you, but I want a gross blessing. I don't want a net blessing. I want a gross blessing. And so I give off the gross. Because, again, that word everything means everything. I use roads to get to New Rocky Creek. Now, the government built those roads. That came out of my taxes that was taken out. And eventually, unless somebody uses it up, I'm going to probably benefit from that Social Security that they took out. All that is mine. I'm going to benefit from it. So a tithe of everything belongs to God. And so we need to be tithing off the gross, not the net. And the reality of it is an offering is given after we've given a tithe. So you haven't given God anything that was yours until you've given God the tithe. Then we start giving an offering, which is my money, is after that. And so an offering is given at that point. And now the scripture talks about offerings. Did you know that there were building projects in the Old Testament? All five of the building projects, going to be on the screen here in a minute, were all done, a tithe of everything. Building projects were done, and they were all done with free will offerings, not with tithe money. The tabernacle in the wilderness, Solomon's temple, two remodeling projects of the temple, the rebuilding of the temple in Nehemiah's day. All of it was done with free will offerings, not a penny of God's money. It was all done by God's people. Free will offerings. But you know, I see churches all the time running out here and doing yard sales. Excuse me if I'm going to get on anybody's toes. Selling donuts on the highways and doing all kind of stuff to the public. When if I read this book right, God's people are supposed to give all the money for God's house to be used. If I read it correctly, we're not supposed to be doing fundraising. F-U-N-D raising. We're supposed to be having fun at church. But we're not supposed to be doing fundraising. And I like what one of my preachers said that just retired. He put it this way. The church that tithes does not have to sell pies. If all of us tithe, we wouldn't have to be selling pies. There'd be plenty of money. Y'all wouldn't have to be listening to me. And the reality of it is, that tabernacle in the wilderness, you know what happened? You think about this now. Those people had come from where when they went into the wilderness? Egypt. What had they been in Egypt? Slaves. Do slaves have anything? No. But when they left Egypt, if you read the clean, white, sticky pages of the Old Testament, when they left Egypt, the Bible says they plundered the Egyptians. And what did the Egyptians have? Lots of stuff. And they carried it with them. Why did they do that? Because God told them to. And they took all that stuff from the Egyptians. And then when the Egyptians realized after those plagues happened that they got all that stuff from them, they ran after them, didn't they? Chased them out there to the Red Sea, and then all of a sudden the Israelites went across the Red Sea on dry land, the biggest aquarium that ever went in history. That Georgia Aquarium didn't have anything on that. And then all of a sudden that water went back together when the Egyptian army went across it, and all of them drowned. And then Moses got over there in the wilderness, and what did he do? He said, bring all your offering for us to build a tabernacle unto God in the wilderness. So all that stuff that they plundered the Egyptians, and so when they brought to build a tabernacle in the wilderness. And so when they brought that stuff to build the tabernacle, they had so much stuff, Moses said this. Now listen, I'm just about through. You won't never hear a Baptist preacher ever say this. You ready for it? Moses said, stop bringing stuff. We got more than enough. Stop bringing it. Leave it in your tent. The reason you won't ever hear a Baptist preacher say that, because people won't bring enough. Why is that? Because God's people need to understand that we, just like those Egyptians, I'm just like those Israelites. What did they do? God took care of them every day. God took care of them before they ever left Egypt and said, y'all going into a wilderness, and I got you covered before you even go. You get that stuff from the Egyptians, and I'm going to cover you when you're out in the wilderness. And he provided manna for them every day. And what do? We take our paycheck and say, I can't tithe this week. I can't afford to. Let me tell you something. You can't afford not to. You really can't. If you will give God 10%, he'll do a miracle with your 90%. He does it every time. My wife and I live down in New Orleans. I'll tell you this story. I went for 3 months, didn't have a job, because they thought I was a meat cutter in Atlanta for 10 years. Lost this finger in somebody's steak, ground beef or something. No, not really. It was an accident. Anyhow, so I couldn't find a job. Finally got a job. And I went to work for an Italian grocery store. And I was working for this Italian grocer. And they were always cussing Italian so they wouldn't offend the Baptist preacher that worked for them. And so the Italian grocery guy that owned the store, he was taking all this old, day-old produce off the shelves one day, and he would just throw it away. And on a Saturday night, it was fall of the year, about this time of the year. My wife was an accounting major, and so she was figuring up our bills. I was watching football on Saturday night. And she said, Larry, we got a problem. And we had a baby that was about 8 months old, and our baby had problems, regurgitation problems. It was on special formula. It cost a lot of money. Most expensive formula you could buy. And she said, I said, what's the problem? You know, I'm flipping channels on television. I said, right, to tithe money to buy groceries if we tithe, what do you want me to do? I said, write the tithe check. She said, but did you hear what I said? We can't buy groceries if we tithe. And y'all can tell by looking at me, I hadn't missed any meals. And I said, write the tithe check. See, my wife didn't grow up in church like I did. I had a drug problem when I was younger. I was drugged to church. I said, write the tithe check. We're going to tithe. She said, okay. But, you know, when we tithe, we only have $20 to buy groceries, and the baby's formula costs $40 this month. So we got $20 to buy formula. I understand. So happily, we wrote the tithe check, and I gladly put it in an offering plate when it passed on Sunday morning, knowing I had no way to buy groceries to feed that baby. I got back on Monday, going my way to school, and I went by the post office, and I checked my mail, and I pulled out from my mailbox, and there was an envelope from a lady and her husband that had an egg farm in Oxford, where I'd been youth pastor in Oxford, Georgia. And there was a card, and enclosed in the card was a check for $100. And she said, "Tom and I did real good on the egg farm this month, and we thought that God moved on our hearts that you could use some extra money, and we sent you $100. God bless you." It was postmarked the Friday before we decided to tithe on Saturday night. And I got it on Monday morning. I went to work that evening, after class. And Mr. Frank was throwing all that old produce in a basket. And he said, "I sure wish I had somebody I could give this to. It's a shame to throw it away. It's still good. It just extended its shelf life. I wish I knew somebody that needed it." And I said, "I'll be glad to take it." I was the envy of all the students at the seminary because I had food. And I shared it the rest of the time I was in school with my friends. And then my friend that I worked with, that his nephew ran the meat markets and leased them from his uncle. I ran one and he ran the other one. Had a whole case of Oscar Mayer beef wieners. Y'all ever price those in the store? Ladies, you know that's the most expensive wiener there is. They were out of date. You can't sell them when they're out of date. He said, "I don't know how we did this, but we missed a whole case of wieners. They're out of date. I sure do hate that after our tithe. I had somebody that I knew that could use them." All this happened within 3 days after I tithed. "I'll take them." Somebody sent my wife 100 ways to cook hot dogs out of a Good Housekeeping magazine. I think she used all 100 of them that month. You know what? What I'm trying to tell you is God will provide. Might not be what you want, but He will take care of you if you'll trust in God. So here's what I'm trying to say. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says this. Upon the first day of the week. What day of the week is the first day? Sunday. We're on the first day right now. Sunday. "Let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered." Is there anyone here today that God's prospered? Is there anybody here today that's so excited they said, "I can't wait. I got to give. I missed the offering plate. I want to give right now. I'm so excited. I want God to move right now. I hear what you're saying, Brother Larry. I've got to give. I got to do it right now." Anybody that sees God doing something in their life right now. Man. What's your name? Wyatt. Wyatt, do you usually carry around $100 bills? Not often. Wyatt just handed me, you take your seat, Wyatt. Wyatt just handed me a $100 bill. Y'all want to become friends with Wyatt, don't you? How many of y'all are friends with Wyatt now? Want to be, huh? You know why Wyatt can hand me a $100 bill so easily? Do you want to know? Do you want to get out of here? Wyatt could do that because I handed this to Wyatt before the service started. And I said, "Wyatt, when I call for this $100 bill, would you bring it to me?" Now, this usher standing in the back there, if Wyatt had kind of slipped out the door, I probably would have said, "Hey, kind of go after him. He's got my $100 bill." You see what I'm saying? But I know Wyatt's mother and dad. I also know his grandparents, so I knew that he was a safe bet that he would come when I called for it. But you see, why did Wyatt bring it to me? Because Wyatt knew that this money didn't belong to him anyhow. It belonged to me. Do you get the point? If you understand that none of it belongs to you, it's not that big a deal to give it, is it? When it doesn't belong to you anyhow. So there's two more things on the curse of God on his people. Principle three, the curse of God on his people. The curse of God on his people. Verse 9, you're under curse. The whole nation of you because you're robbing me. Could it be that the church is not experiencing revival because you aren't doing what God wants you to do? Could it be the church is not being blessed because you're not doing what you are supposed to be doing? Could it be that your family's not being blessed because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing? That's what happened when there was sin in the camp, when Achan stole and hid, when God said, take everything and burn it. And they didn't do it. They kept back. Achan hid it under his tent. Could it be that you're struggling financially because God's discipline's on you because you won't tithe? Could it be that you're not getting that next raise or you're not getting that promotion at work because you're not handling what God's already given you correctly? Have you ever thought about it that way? And God says, well, why should I give you more? Because you're not handling what I've already given you right. So why should I give you more when you're not going to do with it correctly what I've already told you? And I've given you a whole instruction manual on what to do with it. And so you start doing with it what I ask you to do, I'm not going to give you any more. Principle number four, the command of God to his people, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Where's the storehouse? It's the church. There may be food in my house, and test me in this and see what I'll do. This is the only place in the Bible where you can test God. The only place in God's word where you can test him. Nowhere else in the Bible does it say you can test God except here. Now, I said to the early service, I'm going to offer you a 90-day challenge. Now, I didn't ask Brother Randy if I could do this. I might get in trouble. But I'm going to ask you if you'll tithe for 90 days and just test God and see if he won't bless you. And if he doesn't bless you, then go to Brother Randy and say, I want my money back, dude. Give me my money back. But I haven't seen anybody yet, and I've been doing this a long time. I've never seen a pastor come to me and said, it didn't work. I had to give somebody their money back. It works every time. Because God honors his word, and he blesses people when they do what he asked them to do. Why did he say whole tithe? Because he probably figured there was some preacher out there that was going to say, it's okay if you just graduate up, and there's some guys on TV doing this. You just give 8%. If you can't give 9, folks, it says graduate up to 9 and eventually work your way up to 10. It don't say that here, folks. It says start with 10. Your whole tithe, bring it to the storehouse. The church is the storehouse today, so God's work can be done. And test me in this. Principle number 5. The promises of God to his people. 3 promises. There's a spiritual promise. See if I want to open up the floodgates of heaven. What's heaven full of? It's not full of money. The floodgates of heaven. See if I want to throw open the floodgates of heaven, pour out so much blessing to you, you'll not have room enough for it. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops. Vines in your fields will cast out fruit. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land. Next slide. What is it full of? Floodgates are not full of money. It's full of God. You'll have so much of God all over you that when you bump up against somebody, it'll spill over on somebody else. This material promise, a promise to meet your needs. The bottom line is you cannot outgive God. What's John 3:16 say? Can you say it with me? For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You cannot outgive God. God is the greatest giver of all times. An evangelistic promise. Tithing becomes an evangelistic too. All nations, it said at the end of that verse, will call you blessed. All people will say, what in the world is going on at New Rocky Creek Baptist Church? What's going on in your life? What's happening in you? I see something different about you, and they'll want what you've got because they'll see how God is blessing your life. The story is told about a lady who died, her husband died. When her husband died, she had five small children. She lived in rural Mississippi. And her pastor went to her and she said, her pastor said, I don't know how in the world you're going to make it. You have no skills, no job, and you got five small children to raise. What are you going to do? She said, Pastor, I'm not worried. I'm going to claim this promise right here in Scripture. And she took her chair, a wooden cane chair, and she took and she physically moved it up under her window there in her room, in her living room. She said, I'm going to move my chair up under the flood, the windows of heaven and let God bless me. And she sent all five of her children to college, three of them business owners. God blessed her in a remarkable way. Why? Because she did what that song said, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.